Would you turn with me back to 2 Samuel chapter 22? And if you would please stand, I'm going to begin reading at verse 38 of 2 Samuel 22. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. And I have destroyed them and wounded them, so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trod them like dirt in the street, and I spread them out. You have also delivered me from the strivings of my people. You have kept me as the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. The foreigners shall submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. You may be seated. This afternoon we continue in our study of 2 Samuel 22. It is a song that was written by David probably near the end of his life. It is a song in which David celebrates the fact that God has delivered him from the hands of all his enemies. God has protected David from his adversaries and has preserved his life through the many attempts on it. In the beginning of the psalm, David exalts God for who he has been for him personally. David, as we noted, uses personal pronouns when he speaks of God. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, my shield, my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. Therefore, David says, he will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. He will not only call upon God in prayer, so that God might meet him in his time of need and in his time of distress, but he will also praise God for those deliverances that God has already given to him. He will praise him for who God has been to him during his time of trouble and distress. In verses 5 through 16, in language borrowed from the accounts of God's appearance to Moses at Mount Sinai, his deliverance of his people from their enemies in the battles under Joshua at the time of the conquest, and the exodus from Egypt, David describes how God answered his prayer for deliverance and responded by taking action. God was not passive in relationship to David and in relationship to David's distress. God went to bat, if you will, for David. God went to battle against David's enemies. And on account of God's being with David and for David, God then delivered David from his enemies. We read then in verses 17 and 18. That as a result of God's actions to deliver David, that David was drawn out of many waters and delivered from his strong enemies, from those who hated him, for they were too strong, David says, for me. David sees this deliverance as God's rewarding him for the righteous and blameless way that he responded to those who threatened his life. We see that in verses 21 through 25. And then in verses 26 through 28, David says that in principle, God deals with people the way they deal with others. To the merciful, he shows mercy, and so on. In the verses that we looked at 2 weeks ago, we see David describing how God enabled him to persevere in trial, to escape from all who sought to harm him, and to be victorious over all who opposed him. In verses 29 through 35, David praises God for the Lord's enablement. In these verses, David is not praising God for what God has done for him to deliver him, but rather for what God enabled him to do. God enabled David to run against a troop, leap over a wall, verse 30. He makes my feet like the feet of deer, David writes. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze, verses 34 and 35. God enlarged David's path so that his feet did not slip, or as another translation reads, so that his ankles did not turn. Interspersed with these acknowledgments are verses that say that God armed him with strength, verse 33, and gave him his shield of victory, verse 36. As a result, David was always able to achieve a full victory over his enemies. But he only achieved victory over his enemies because of God's enablement. And that is true for us as well. We have enemies. There are enemies to our souls. We have the great enemy, which is Satan himself. We have the enemy of our own flesh. We have the enemy of the world. And without the enablement of God given to us by His Spirit, we would fall daily to temptation. We would be overcome by the evil one. We would give in to the allurements of the world. But it is God who strengthens us. It is God who enables us to be victorious over those enemies, to say no to temptation, to say no to the allurements of the world, to say no to the one who seeks to destroy our souls as he roams around like a roaring lion. If it were not for the enablement of God, we would all fall, would we not? And we would not stand. But God enables us and has given us his Spirit to strengthen us. Now in verses 38 through 43, we have David describing the extent of these victories. So we had prior to this God's enablement, and now we have the extent of the victories. And as we read the account in those verses, we see that the victories of David over his enemies were complete and total. David says, I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Now notice how many times the word destroyed is used. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. And I have destroyed them and wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemy so that I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trod them like dirt in the street, and I spread them out. These verses give to us the complete and total victory that David won over his enemies. David didn't just barely defeat those who hated him and who rose up in opposition against him. He didn't win some battles and and lose others. David was always victorious, and David's victories were always landslide victories. David's victory over his enemies was profound and was great. And why was that? Well, because God was with him. God strengthened David. God directed David. God encouraged David. God provided for David the resources that would enable David to crush those who came up against him. David, victories were only achieved in the power of God. Notice in the text that David doesn't take any credit at all for the victories over his enemies. He recognizes that these victories are the blessing of God on his efforts as he stands in opposition to those enemies, as he pursues his enemies. God is the one who enables him to be victorious. He puts the emphasis on God in verses 40 and 41. "For you have armed me with strength. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me." Even when God enables us to say no to temptation, we must not think that we stood against that temptation in our own strength and were victorious. We must give credit to God. He is the one who enabled us to say no to that particular temptation. When the world comes against us, when the world threatens us, and we stand firm and steadfast in the faith, we're not standing firm and steadfast in the faith on our own strength. It is God who strengthens us. It is God who helps us stand against the world. It is God who enables us to stand against the flesh. Credit must always, always, in spiritual victory, go to God. We must never take credit to ourselves. And if we are involved in ministry, whatever that ministry might be, and we see God working in that ministry, and, for example, in relationship to the pulpit ministry, we see, as the gospel is preached, sinners being saved. We see God's people being sanctified. And woe to the pastor or the preacher who thinks that God's people, that people are being saved and God's people are being sanctified because he is such a good expositor of God's word. It may be that he is that, but that's not the reason for his success. The reason for his success is that God has granted that success. I would remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, in relationship to himself and Apollos. You remember what Paul said? He said this, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor is he who waters, but God who gives the increase." That is the one, or he is the one, I should say, according to Paul, that should receive honor and glory for anything spiritually good that has been accomplished by himself or by the ministry of Apollos. In verses 44 through 46, David speaks of the effects of his victories. He says, first of all, in verse 44, "You have also delivered me from the strivings of my people." David's problems did not only exist outside his kingdom, they were also found inside the nation of Israel itself. David faced great challenges even within the nation over which he reigned. In fact, one might legitimately argue that David faced his greatest challenges in dealing with the strivings of his own people. Not only did David have to deal with the strivings of King Saul, who reigned just before David, and which added ongoing tension between Saul's house Saul's house and David, but David had to deal with the rebellion of his own son Absalom, and with the multitude of traitors who joined in Absalom's conspiracy, both from Judah and from the other 11 tribes. There was also the insubordinate acts of Joab and Abishai, David's nephews, and that of Abner, who opposed the rule of David after the death of Saul. So there were the strivings within David's own kingdom that troubled him. And God met him in those strivings against his own people, who wanted David, in some cases, not to take the throne, and in other cases, when he was on the throne, they wanted to remove him from the throne. But God kept David, and God preserved the kingship of David. Yes, there were troubles and distresses, but God preserved his king. Then we read that God kept David as the head of the nations. Now, you might expect David to say, "You kept me as the head of Israel," because it was Israel over which David reigned. But under David's reign, the borders of the promised land expanded. And not only did David conquer many of the heathen in the land, driving them out, such as the Philistines, he also conquered beyond the borders of Israel, utterly destroying nations, or causing several of them to submit to his reign. Nations were paying tribute to David. Nations sued for peace because they were afraid of David. They were afraid of this one who was the anointed of God and empowered and strengthened and emboldened by God. And therefore, David was the head of the nations, at least the head of the people of Israel, and the head of those nations that surrounded the nation of Israel. He ruled and reigned, in a sense, over them all. David goes on to say, "A people I have not known shall serve me. The foreigners submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. The foreigners fade away and become frightened from their hideouts. The nations surrounding Israel are no match for David, who fights and is victorious in the enablement that God gives. He overcomes those inside his nation who strive against him, and those outside the nation who would trouble him. He fights against them and he subdues them all." No nation is a match for David. No nation can stand against David. He subdues them all. And when they hear about him and seek to hide from them, they know that such an action is useless, that they will be found out. And so they come out of their hiding places in order to submit themselves to King David. Now, I'm going to stop there this evening and remind you that in the life of David, we see a type of Christ. David, of course, or Jesus, is the greater son of David. As David was called the anointed one, so Jesus Christ is called the anointed one in Scripture. Jesus Christ is, according to Scripture, the Son of David. And the fulfillment of all these things that we read about in relationship to David, the things that we read about tonight, these all find fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. For when it comes to Jesus Christ, who was it that strove against him? Who was it that opposed him? Was it not the people from his own nation? Did they not strive against Messiah when he came? Yes, there were many who, like this, we read about this morning, great multitudes that followed the Lord Jesus Christ on the week before his crucifixion when he entered into Jerusalem. There were a multitude of people that sang Hosanna before him. But then, just a short time later, those same people abandon him and they cry out for his crucifixion. They cry out for his blood to be upon their head. They declare that they have no king but Caesar. And what happened? Well, Christ was victorious over all those who stood up and opposed him, Jew and Romans, Israelites and Gentiles. He was victorious in his resurrection. They rejected him as king, and yet he was raised victorious. And 40 days after the resurrection, he ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God. And what is he doing at the right hand of God? He's head of the nations, is he not? All authority, Jesus said to his disciples, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. He is the reigning and ruling King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as he rules and reigns, he is bringing the nations under his feet. Some nations he is subduing by the gospel, as he is bringing people into the kingdom of God through the ministry of the Word of God. And as the Holy Spirit gives success to the preaching of the Word of God, and as men and women and boys and girls repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation, they are added to the church over which Jesus Christ is the head. And then those nations that will not bow down to Jesus Christ, who continue in their rebellion, he subdues by defeating them and by causing them, as Vaughn read this morning in Isaiah, causing the nations to be brought down, to be humbled, to be subdued, which he will do in spades when he comes again. The Lamb of God will come as the lion from the tribe of Judah, and he will then subdue all those enemies that remained rebellious and would not submit to his rule and his authority. And you know what? There will be no place to hide. No place to hide for those who opposed him. But nothing to fear from those who were subdued by him and who came savingly to Jesus Christ for salvation. So as we come to the table this afternoon, we come to the table of our sovereign, omnipotent King, the one who rules and reigns over all, the one who gave his life a ransom for many, the one who has saved us from our sins, the one who has adopted us into God's family, the one through whom we have salvation and are counted as the people of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in the victories of David over all his enemies, we see prefigured the victories of Christ over all of his enemies, over sin and over death and over hell, over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. Father, we thank you that in Christ we are victorious. And we thank you that by the strength that your Spirit gives us, we are able to stand against the enemies that continue to trouble us in our day and age. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would enable us to stand firm and strong, and to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.